Chapter 5.
I don't think it's too much further,
Becca called out as we drove onward from the Barton upon Humbar Bridge. Kat's jeep roared alongside our bikes, and she kept up with the pace no problem. The sun had stuck around so far and warmed our blood-spattered faces as we drove. We still had our radios strapped to our belts, and with a jeep full of military-grade weaponry, our fighting style had definitely leveled up. My worries from seeing those videos had eased a lot because of this, too. With the four of us together and an arsenal like ours, even the chance of being meticulously hunted by a growing swarm of human-hungry dinosaurs wasn't as intimidating. Plus, I was still on a high from our group effort of taking down a whole fleet of pterodactyls, and I grinned as I watched the three girls ride beside me.
"We should check the phones in a few minutes," I hollered. "Find the best route specifically for the aquarium."
We drove on for a ways, but when I gave the signal, we all slowed down and made sure to check our surroundings for wings or large footsteps before we stopped. There didn't seem to be any unwanted visitors around, and the road looked empty ahead. Kat swung out of her jeep to jump down beside me, and Hei-Wan pulled her phone out to check the maps. I reached into my pocket to look at my cell as well, since I hadn't given the device much thought recently. After the internet started to go down, there wasn't any means of communication with any family or friends. For the time being, though, the GPS system still seemed to work okay, and I pressed my home screen button to track our progress. Then I was greeted by a flashing red battery sign before the screen went black.
"Ugh, mine's dead," I sighed.
"Hopefully we can charge up at the aquarium."
"It's kind of a shame social media's down,"
Becca said, and twisted in her seat to look at me.
"Can you imagine how many likes our dino-killing sprees would get on Instagram? We could have started a whole account to show people how it's done."
I've never been into that stuff,"
Kat shrugged.
"I'm pretty private. I don't like my business being out there for everyone to see."
"Shame,"
Becca smiled.
"Super hot army chicks get thousands of followers."
"Do they?"
The soldier chuckled, and I offered her a confirming nod.
"It's 20 minutes away,"
Hei-Wan announced as she examined her phone.
"Straight drive ahead. If we keep going down the A63, we'll run right into the place. The aquarium is in the city center."
"That means we drive alongside the river,"
Becca said with a wary glance over to the water.
"The road's far enough away,"
Kat observed.
"Nothing could jump over that far, I hope."
"You haven't met a giant sea scorpion, have you?"
Hei-Wan asked with a small shiver.
"A fucking what?"
Kat scoffed.
"We'll explain on the way,"
the Korean assured her.
"Get ready for a horror story."
"Let's go," I said. "Remember, we don't know what state the place is going to be in. There might not be anyone left there, but if we could grab some medical supplies, then that's all we need." Kat jumped back into her jeep, and we started back off down the highway toward the city. I couldn't help but ease into the enjoyment of the drive, with the rare, bright English weather and the glistening river over to our right. The air didn't smell like dino blood for the stretch of the journey, and the thought of whatever creatures might be swirling under the surface of the river didn't faze me as I listened to Becca and Hei-Wan yell their scorpion story to a wide-eyed Kat. I grinned as I watched the girls laugh together like old friends, and Kat's tough but witty personality seemed to fit right into our little group dynamic. I had worried slightly that the girls would be annoyed by the sudden arrival of another woman, but both of my lovers had welcomed Kat with open arms. I got the impression they were also just as willing to have me welcome her with way more than that. It almost seemed too good to be true, but I didn't want to jinx it by overthinking the situation. I just focused on the pleasant curve of my girls' hips as their thighs clung to their motorcycles, and whenever Kat turned a lopsided grin out the window in their direction, I couldn't help smiling even more. This was definitely the way to spend a dino apocalypse. This stretch of road was one of the emptiest we had seen in a while, with only a few abandoned cars scattered here and there. I noticed there were even a few sheep grazing in the fields to our left, and I wondered how the hell they had survived so long. Probably because they weren't exactly on the menu anymore. The dinos seemed to only want to hunt human flesh, and I couldn't help wondering if the human race would be outlived by a bunch of animals we had reared for food.
"Hey, Jason!"
Kat called as she slowed her jeep to pull back beside me.
I think I made the right choice tracking you guys down. You've got some big balls.
I raised my eyebrows as the curly-haired soldier smiled at me through her open window, and her hazel eyes sparkled in a way that made it hard to remember I had to keep my gaze on the road.
Is there any reason in particular that you're thinking about my balls, Corporal? I hollered back,
and the soldier smiled even wider at my wink.
I've just been filled in on some of your fights,
Cat yelled.
I think I made the right choice tracking you guys down.
I have to agree with you there, I chuckled,
and I caught Becca throwing a shit-eating grin over her shoulder at me.
Here we go,
Haywan yelled as we sped past a sign welcoming us to Kingston upon Hull. As we drew closer to the city, I could see the buildings looked like a mixture of Georgian and modern architecture, and I couldn't help but admire the view. The tall houses stretched out around us, and there was a faint smell of smoke as we passed several upturned cars. It was a short drive to reach the city center, and we found ourselves in a wide-open town square with impressive, ornate office buildings towering above us from all angles. I had always liked the simple symmetry of structures from the 1700s, and I allowed myself a few moments to appreciate my very English surroundings before I focused up.
All right, I said, as our group slowed down. It seems really quiet, which honestly probably isn't a good sign.
We're just here for some quick surprise.
Haywan glanced upwards at the surrounding windows.
Let's keep as quiet as we can.
I nodded, and we drove over to a large signpost with a detailed map of the city. As we examined it and confirmed the aquarium was a short drive away, I listened for the sound of claws on concrete or the flap of large wings. Then we heard the distant sound of a human scream, and we quickly set off toward the aquarium. The city roads were too narrow for us to drive alongside each other as a group, especially since we had to weave through hordes of abandoned vehicles. Dozens of familiar stores lined the street, and some of them were big-name chains I had visited for years. We drove past a Starbucks with the windows smashed in, and I noticed chunks of dino flesh clinging to the shards of glass. Just a few weeks ago, I'd take advantage of the free Wi-Fi whenever I felt like getting out of campus to study, and the coffee chain closest to my dorm happened to be a Starbucks. It was almost funny to recall how I used to think getting a syrupy coffee instead of a tea was an exciting moment of the day. Nowadays, exciting meant fighting off bloodthirsty ancient predators alongside the most gorgeous women I had ever met. Then we passed a beautiful, ornate fountain that had a dead raptor face down in the stale water, and I redirected my focus as I realized this meant there could be a herd close by. The aquarium was right ahead and next to the river, though, and as we neared the water, we kept a watchful eye out for any fins. The large building was sharp and modern, with bright wooden paneling and a glass top. It was an impressive landmark and looked out onto the water with a large plastic shark statue at the side. In the parking lot, there were four cars, a large gray delivery truck, and an old bicycle that had a tote bag beside it. We parked next to the entrance, and the truck hid our vehicles from view of the road. It wasn't a perfect hiding spot for our precious motorcycles and Jeep, but it would have to do for the time being. Haywan jumped off her bike first, and she poked at the abandoned tote beside the bicycle. "Anything exciting in there?" I asked as I dismounted.
"Rotten fruit,"
Haywan said with a wrinkled nose.
"I guess they had to drop their snacks to escape something."
We took our rifles with us and carefully made our way to the entrance. There was a wall of glass paneling at the front door, which had all been covered by various drapes and boards to prevent anything from seeing inside. The automatic doors didn't work, and there was a manual entrance next to them that was also locked.
"Should we just knock?"
Becca asked as she tried to peer through a gap in the boards.
"I don't think any lights are on. It might be abandoned."
I gave the glass door a firm knock, and we waited for a few moments in silence. "I don't really want to break the glass," I said as I checked over my shoulder to make sure we were still alone. "It seems pretty peaceful right now, and I don't want to alert anything that we're here."
"Hello?"
Becca called as she gave the door another sharp knock.
"Can we come in, please? We're good people, I swear."
"Convincing,"
Haywan snorted as she nudged the blonde sharpshooter.
"We could check for another way in,"
Kat said as she glanced up at the tall buildings. Before I could reply, there was a shuffling sound from the other side of the glass. We all instinctively raised our weapons and took a step back from the entrance. The shuffle stopped, and I noticed a single finger appeared to pull back a corner of cloth. I stepped forward again and immediately lowered my rifle, and I gave a friendly wave to the one eyeball peering out at us. The eyeball blinked, and then it disappeared from view again. Kat said.
Did they just leave?
A click came from the push door beside us, and it opened a couple of inches.
Are you hurt?
A meek male voice asked. Not really, I replied. But we were just hoping to maybe borrow some supplies and clean up a bit, if possible.
Oh,
the voice replied, and he sounded hesitant.
You're with the army, then? I'll see the car.
I am, yes,
Kat replied.
We've been fighting our asses off to protect what we can of the world, and I would really love it if I could wash the dino guts off before we resume our mission.
I see,
the man said as he eyed our weapons.
Well, okay, come in, quickly.
The door opened, and I let the girls pile in before me. As I jogged into the aquarium, I was hit with the smell of bleach, and my eyes had to adjust to how dark it was. The lights above were off, and only a small lamp to the far side of the reception illuminated the surrounding area. The door was closed and locked as soon as my feet stepped onto the paneled floor, and our host turned to look at us. It was a man who looked to be in his mid-30s, and he wore stained hospital scrubs with dirty sneakers. He was a couple of inches taller than me, very skinny, and had dark stubble under purple eye bags. Hi, I said, and I reached out my hand. I'm Jason. This is Haywan, Becca, and Kat. The man glanced down at my hand but didn't take it.
Sorry, he said. I can't risk any unnecessary contamination with the patients and everything. I'm Matthew.
Thanks for letting us inside,
Kat said.
Is your power out?
No, Matthew replied. We just keep the lights off in the reception lobby, but downstairs we've got everything going.
The lobby area was huge, and even in the dim lighting I could see how brightly it was decorated. The main desk was covered in cuddly toy fish, and there were huge posters that lined the walls with details of various sea creatures. It was eerie to see a place so cheery suddenly turned into a hidden refuge.
So, where did you come from?
Matthew asked. Did you come from America? Well, originally, I chuckled, but we were students at Cambridge when all this kicked off, and Kat was a corporal at Peterborough.
We're heading to Ravenscar,
Becca added.
To find my mum.
Right,
the tired-looking man nodded.
Well, I guess I'll lead you downstairs, then. We don't take the lifts, just in case the power does go out and we get stuck inside.
Good idea, I agreed. So you're a doctor?
I'm a pediatric nurse,
Matthew replied, as he led us toward a wide staircase next to the reception desk.
But anyone with medical knowledge has basically been lumped into one team, and we just try to help where we can.
This looks like a big place, I said, as I glanced up to see plastic sharks dangling from the high ceiling. Is it a kind of hospital now?
I'm not sure I would go that far, Matthew replied. More like a resting point for injured people. We have supplies, and we've made beds the best we could, but it's not going to help anyone on death's door.
How many people are here?
Haywan asked.
It changes every day, Matthew shrugged. Probably a couple of hundred just now, maybe slightly less. My flat is nearby, and I was coming back from a night shift when all this kicked off. My flatmate is a nurse, too, and she suggested coming here.
How did it become a medical stop?
Kat asked.
We told our friends about it, Matthew said. A lot of them are doctors, and people just sort of brought whatever supplies they had. I guess word spread before all phones went down, and now we have a proper staff team.
We reached the bottom of the staircase, and fluorescent lights shone above us.
So we're underground now?
Becca asked.
That's right, the nurse nodded. That's why we chose this place. Even if the upper level is vulnerable, we should be safe down here.
Good thinking, I agreed. An underground bunker. I heard the low rumble of voices, and the smell of bleach was mixed with the faint stench of vomit. We walked down a short corridor and were led into a huge room full of small enclosed pools, and I could see the start of a viewing tunnel at the far side. The pools actually had creatures swimming around inside of them, but the floor between was covered in makeshift beds, which were mostly just single blankets on top of a couple of pillows. There were people lying down in various states of injury, but while some had nothing noticeably wrong with them, others bore wounds that were clearly severe. Men and women rushed around carrying bandages, alcohol, and buckets of liquid. Some wore scrubs like Matthew, and some were just in everyday clothing. There were a few wearing medical masks, and it was clear that everyone had grabbed whatever they could before they came to the aquarium. The workers all looked incredibly stressed, even more so than Matthew. If they really had as many people here as they said, then everyone who was severely hurt and stayed within the city after the attacks got worse probably came here.
"This is the main area for patients," Matthew explained, as we stood and looked out over the room. "As you can see, it used to be the rock pool bit, for kids to poke starfish and stuff."
"You know, for some reason it didn't occur to me that the animals would all still be here," I admitted. "Things are just so strange outside, but I mean, it looks like you've kept the place up well so far."
"Oh, yeah," Matthew said. "There are a bunch of the aquarium staff here. Obviously, they didn't leave after their shift when they realized there were dinosaurs plodding about the city center."
I looked over at one of the rock pools and saw a young girl with thick glasses beside it. She had a scrub brush and was cleaning the glass inside a pool, and she was being careful to avoid the orange starfish which clung to the side. The girl couldn't have been older than 16, and I guessed she had been doing her weekend job when the attack started.
"So," Matthew continued, "through the back over there you've got the viewing tunnels. Not much being kept in there, but some of the patients have moved their beds so they can watch the fish while they rest."
"That's what I would do,"
Becca said.
"I used to love coming to aquariums when I was little."
"Then we have some wash stations set up through there."
The nurse pointed to the right, where the large room led off into a smaller one.
"There's a couple of showers that the divers used to use after they did their feeding shows. There's toilets that way, too. We try and keep them as clean as possible, so they should be in pretty good condition."
"Luxury,"
Haywan giggled.
"At this point, anywhere with a loo roll is 5-star.
Becca laughed. "Do you think you'll be able to spare anything?" I asked. "Bandages, disinfectant wipes. We don't need much, just enough to make it to Ravenscar safely."
"I reckon we could give you something," Matthew said. "But I'll need to check with the others to see what state our supplies are in. We managed to get a fair amount stocked up between all the medical workers."
"Do people just stay here?"
Kat asked.
"Even after they've been treated?"
"We tried to discourage that at first," the tall man replied. "We thought if we let people stay, then it would just become too overcrowded. But it turned out nobody had the heart to send others out there. And we haven't had many people arrive lately, so it's been okay for space."
"It was a ghost town outside,"
Haywan nodded.
"I guess there are less and less people around as time goes on. Less people, more dinosaurs,"
Kat sighed.
"Matt!"
A middle-aged woman called as she scurried over. Her bright red hair had been tied up in a pleat, and she had an armful of bandages.
"Can you help me with some redressings? A couple people need their bandages changed."
"Sure,"
Matthew replied, and he turned back to me as the woman hurried off.
"You guys just clean up, or whatever you want to do. I'll see what I can do about supplies. You can stay for however long you want, I guess."
"Thank you," I said in earnest. "We really appreciate your hospitality." With that, the lanky nurse jogged off to follow his co-worker, and he got to work in the makeshift hospital.
"Well," I sighed, "feels pretty good to be away from anywhere dinos can spot us."
"And among good people,"
Becca added.
"They've done well,"
Kat nodded.
"It's good to see people coming together like this. It reminds us what we're fighting for,"
Haywan said.
"So can we get clean now?"
Becca asked.
"No offense, Kat, but the dino blood has kind of matted your hair and it bloody stinks."
"You're one to talk, lass."
The corporal scruffed Becca's own bloody hair good-naturedly, and I laughed as we headed toward the right side of the area to find the wash stations. We carefully stepped between the beds, although most of the ones at the front half of the room were empty. Through the chatter of patients and staff, there was the occasional burst of laughter, and my shoulders loosened at the sound. The small corridor led us to another room with a staff-only sign attached, but it was propped open, and a middle-aged man stood right inside with a small pile of towels in his hands.
"Showers or a quick basin wash?" he asked as we approached,
and I saw his eyes flicker over Kat's blood-soaked clothing.
"I'm guessing showers. Here, you can have the big towels."
He handed us each a soft lilac towel and smiled.
"Ladies to the right, gents to the left," the man added.
"Aw,"
Becca giggled.
"Can't we all go in together?"
The man flushed bright red, and he stuttered at the blonde's teasing.
Sorry, miss, he finally said without looking at Becca. Just keeping things moving as quickly as we can. Ladies to the right.
That's a shame.
Haywan grinned at me.
I guess we'll just have to help Kat wash herself off without Jason.
The curly-haired soldier looked up at me with her half-grin, and there was no denying she wanted me in on this. And I suddenly wanted nothing more than to join her in a steaming hot shower to help clean the blood from her athletic body. The man with the towels was glaring at me, though, and I offered him an apologetic nod. See you on the other side, I told the girls. And Becca winked before grabbing her two friends' hands and leading them off to the ladies' room.
What are you all with you? The towel man asked, as he stared after the gorgeous trio. All free?
Yeah, actually, I said, and grinned. They are.
Oh, bloody hell, the man replied with wide eyes. At least someone's enjoying the end of the world.
I laughed in agreement, and then I made my way to the left in search of the showers. It was a short walk to the men's locker room. The floor had blue tiles, and there was a tower of lockers next to a urinal, a cubicle, and two showers. One of the shower doors was shut, and whoever was inside sang to themselves as steam rose over the door. I shoved my rifle into the biggest locker at the bottom, and then tore my armor, bulletproof vest, and clothes off. When everything was crammed inside, I closed the locker and took my towel over to the small shower cubicle. The walls were high enough to be blocked from view, and there was a hook just outside the door for my towel. I grinned as I stepped inside, shut the door, and turned the water on. My body was covered in grime, sweat, and splatters of dino blood. As the water warmed up, I stuck a foot underneath the shower and watched the dirt run down the drain. Once the temperature was nice and hot, I stepped under the shower head and sighed with deep relief. The warm water fell down and washed away the filth and stress from my body, and I felt calmer than I had in days.
Need some shower gel?
The man next door shouted, and a bottle was slid under the partition to my feet.
Thanks,
I laughed and grabbed the bottle. It was crazy to be around genuine humans again. The shower gel was scented like warm vanilla, and I savored every second of sudsing up my body. I thought about the girls in the showers next door while I did, and I wondered if they really would all go in together. Something about Becca's wink made me certain they would, and the thought made my head almost explode. I couldn't stop thinking about what Kat's body would look like under all the uniform and protective gear. But adding my two beautiful girlfriends into the steamy mix was wreaking all kinds of havoc on my lower extremities. I scrubbed every inch of my body while my mind offered up too many erotic ideas for me to count. And it wasn't long before the water ran clear, and I was thoroughly clean for the first time in what felt like forever. I heard the man beside me whistle as he got out of his cubicle, and soon I was alone in the locker room. The solitude was so foreign to me. I stood under the warm flow of water with my eyes closed for several minutes. I knew luxuries like this were getting harder and harder to come by, so I enjoyed and appreciated every second of it. I let the steam engulf my body and seep into my lungs, while not a single dinosaur roared in the distance. And when my mind began to drift back to the three beautiful women I'd arrived here with, an easy grin spread across my face. Eventually, I forced myself to reach out and turn off the water, and then I grabbed my towel and headed back into the locker room. The towel was unbelievably soft, and as I dried myself off, I wished I had some new clothes to get into. After a quick visit to the bathroom, I opened my locker and started to get dressed. Once I was fully clothed, I swung my rifle over my back and headed back out into the hall with my wet towel in hand.
Just chuck it in the basket, mate, the man at the entrance said.
I threw my wet towel into the container and headed out to find the girls. I wandered through the hall back into the rock pool room first, but I couldn't see the girls around. And I guessed it took them longer to shower with whatever hair washing they had to get done. I took a seat at the edge of the room to wait so I wouldn't be in the way of any of the medical goings-on, and I sat back with a heavy sigh. There were a few people who were asleep in their beds, and a few who were cradling various limbs. I knew everyone there had faced some kind of danger, and I almost wanted to ask each person what they had seen. I wondered if anyone else had noticed how organized the dinos seemed to have gotten,
or how terrifyingly clever they could be when they needed to be.
Hey, handsome.
Becca grinned as the girls piled out of the hall. They all looked great, with clean hair and shining, blood-free faces.
They had hair dryers and everything,
Haywan said.
But we really missed you in the shower, Jason. Did you miss us?
You know I did, I assured without a second thought, and my two lovers smirked to hear it. Kat didn't say anything, but her cheeks turned slightly pink as she smiled at me. Her curls were back to being dirty blonde, with no trace of dino blood in sight, and she had removed the blood-covered uniform shirt to reveal a white tank top, which showed off her toned arms and impressive cleavage. You guys look great, I said as I stood up. I have to say, there was room for you in that shower cubicle with me. It's a shame we couldn't be together. Well, shame for us, not for the guy who was in the next cubicle. Ladies and gentlemen, a man called out from the other side of the room. I looked over and saw a young, chubby man with wispy blonde hair. He wore an aquarium staff shirt and had a shiny manager badge on his chest. The seal feeding will be taking place in half an hour. If you would like to watch, please make your way through the viewing tunnels. Thank you.
What?
Kat snorted.
A seal feeding?
I love seals,
Becca said excitedly.
Can we go and watch?
Matthew did say they're still taking care of the animals, I said. And it's probably a nice distraction for the people here, too. It makes sense to keep things running as normal in whatever small ways they still can.
It will be like a date,
Haywan said, as she slid a hand into my back pocket.
What do you say, Jason?
I think that sounds great. I grinned as I wrapped an arm around the Korean beauty's tiny waist. I couldn't think of a better-looking bunch to take out.
Yay!
Becca squealed with a little jump. She reached up and planted a kiss on my lips, and the smell of coconut shampoo filled my senses. I wanted to reach out and bring Kat into the embrace, but I didn't want to overstep my bounds, so I just gave her a smile.
I do like sharks,
the soldier smiled back.
I mean, as long as they aren't from thousands of years ago and trying to kill me.
I reckon we can find some of the regular ones for you, I said as we headed around the side of the room toward the viewing tunnel entrance. I had one arm around Haywan, and I reached out to give Becca's perfect ass a squeeze as she walked in front of me. The blonde giggled and shimmied her hips in response, and I noticed Kat smile to herself. We reached the tunnel, and inside we could see the huge tanks that enveloped the walkway.
I'm so excited,
Becca squealed, and she stepped inside to lead the way.
Here we are, weeks into the end of the world, and I'm finally getting a proper date with a decent man.
I chuckled at the sentiment, but as I glanced at the beauties around me, I definitely agreed with the gorgeous Brit. A date with three lovely, deadly ladies was exactly what I'd been needing. The tunnel was dimly lit by small spotlights along the floor, and all around us was glass that held in a world of sea creatures. Brightly colored fish swam lazily over our heads, and crabs scurried along the bottom of the artificial seabed. The tunnel curved around, and as we turned the corner, we stepped into a long stretch that opened up into the main section of the tank.
Awesome,
Haywan breathed as we stopped to watch the larger creatures swim above and around us. A stingray drifted over us, and Haywan hurried over to the glass to watch a small group of clownfish.
Hey, look,
Becca snorted.
That fish is making the face Jason has when he just wakes up.
She pointed to a creature with an unfortunately grumpy-looking scowl, and the whole group burst out laughing. Oh, yeah? I teased. Well, that one definitely has your smile. I pointed to a stingray that had a tiny, expressionless face, and the girls wheezed with laughter.
This one is Kat,
Haywan pointed out as a small fish with curly antenna-like parts swam past. The corporal grinned, and she pointed out a scuttling crab that darted past.
Well, that's Haywan,
Kat said.
It's cute and travel-sized, but it also looks like it might kill me.
The girls laughed even harder, and we carried on around the viewing tunnel, admiring the colors and varying sizes of the sea life. As we walked and laughed, I noticed Kat's tough exterior start to soften as we joked together. Becca and Haywan were acting like she had always been part of the group, and I could have watched the three of them all day. There were a couple of people camped out in beds, like Matthew had said, but they were all happy to let us by and offered friendly waves. Other than the occasional patient camped out on the floor, I could almost imagine I was just on a normal date, with three gorgeous women and no threat of flesh-eating dinos above us. We all stopped to watch as a hammerhead shark drifted lazily overhead, and Cat clapped excitedly.
Fuck yeah!
The corporal laughed.
Now that's my kind of shark.
I remember when I thought that would be the biggest sea creature I'd ever encounter, I sighed. After the things we've seen, that shark looks like a goldfish. We stopped just before the tunnel ended to watch the shark loop around and swim past some brave angelfish. Haywan tucked her hand into my back pocket, and Becca laced her fingers between mine as we enjoyed the view. Cat hovered close, and her lopsided grin sent an excited shiver down my spine.
Seal time!
Becca squealed as we eventually exited the tunnel, and we stepped out into a large roofed area. The seals had a separate tank from the fish, and there was a small seating area with plastic benches to watch the demonstrations. The young man who made the announcement earlier bounded over to us with a bucket of fish in hand. His manager badge shone, and it looked like we were the only people who had come.
Ah, brilliant, he said,
and I wrinkled my nose at the smell of the fish.
Most folks have already watched the seals, but, well, we might get a few more soon.
You do this every day? I asked.
Yes, sir, the young man nodded. We've got a lot of the food frozen for the animals, so we should be fine feeding them for another month or so. After that, I guess they'll have to just put up with whatever we can find for them.
Seems like you really love your job, I smiled. I'm Jason, by the way, and this is Haywan, Becca, and Kat.
Oh, glad to meet you, the manager replied. I'm Oscar. I only got promoted 2 weeks before this whole thing happened. Great timing, huh?
They're lucky to have you, I laughed. So, we'll take a seat, I guess?
Yes, please do, Oscar said. Ah, here are a couple more visitors.
I looked over to the tunnel exit and saw two children bound through toward us. The girl looked about 10, and the boy who clutched her hand couldn't have been more than 6. They didn't look injured, and I imagined their parents must be patients in the makeshift hospital. The girl had a blue flowery dress, and her afro hair had rainbow clips. The boy wore a mini denim jacket and looked slightly more wary than his sister.
My two favorite helpers, Oscar said as the kids rushed over to him. Isaac, Eva, these are some new friends who are going to watch.
I smiled at the two young children as they waved before they turned to the tank and bounced up and down. The seals swam around in front of us, and there was an exposed part of their tank that had a large flat rock and a gate that separated them from the viewing area. Becca and Haywan were on the bench to my right, and Kat was on my left. We watched as the kids pressed their noses up against the glass, and Oscar reminded them of the seals' names.
Okay, then, ladies and gentlemen, Oscar said,
and the kids scuttled over to sit on the ground in front of us.
It's time to feed the seals.
The manager opened the small gate and stepped through onto the rock, and this immediately prompted 3 speckled gray seals to jump up from the water and join him. The kids roared with laughter and clapped their hands, and it looked like they could hardly stay seated.
I can't handle how cute they are,
Becca whispered as she looked at the children.
My uterus is going to explode.
Down, girl, I chuckled as I rested my palm on the blonde's perfect thigh. Oscar made a show of the feeding, and he gave the seals various commands. The seals rolled over, played dead, and clapped in exchange for the offering of fish. It was clear the animals were besotted with their trainer, and they almost knocked him over several times with their enthusiastic playing.
Would anyone like to help?
Oscar called over to the small audience, and the little girl's hand shot into the air.
All right then, Ava, come on over.
The girl jumped up and raced over to join Oscar, who showed her how to feed the seals without getting her hand bitten. The little boy was left in front of us, and he squirmed in his spot as he watched his sister.
You don't want to do it?
Becca asked as she leaned forward. The boy turned to face her, and he shook his head silently, but then he nodded.
I don't want them to eat me,
Isaac whispered, and the blonde Brit smiled warmly.
They only like fish,
Becca said in a soothing tone.
They think you would taste yucky. Why don't I go over with you?
Isaac considered this for a moment as he studied his new friend, and then he got to his feet and stuck his small hand out toward Becca. The beautiful blonde model stood up and accompanied the kid over to the seals, and she helped him step carefully onto the feeding platform. I grinned as I watched Becca help the kids feed the seals, and Haywan cheered with each fish that was chomped down. Whenever the kids laughed, Becca's eyebrows crinkled in response, and she kept turning toward us and mouthing, "Oh my God," like the adorable situation was too much for her to handle.
She's great with them.
Kat laughed. She had crossed her legs up on the bench and looked the most relaxed I had seen her yet.
Yeah, she is, I agreed. It's super cute.
Eventually, the seals became full, and one settled into sleep on the rock as the others flopped back into the water. The kids jumped out of the enclosure with Becca as Oscar locked the gate back up, and Isaac gave Becca a quick hug by grabbing her legs. Then he raced off with his sister back through the viewing tunnel. I stood up and grabbed Becca into a tight embrace as she returned to us, and she giggled as I kissed her neck softly.
I think I'm ready for mum duties,
the Brit laughed. Oh yeah? I murmured against her neck.
Yeah, I want 5 exactly like that,
Becca informed me. I'll get right on that, I chuckled, and I left a light bite on her shoulder before I finally released my hold.
That was stinking adorable,
Haywan agreed.
Becca, can you have my kids too? Just 3 or 10 who look just like Jason? Oh, sure.
The blonde laughed, and she bent down to give the Korean a swift kiss on the cheek.
Anything for you.
Thanks for coming out, folks, Oscar called as he picked up the empty fish bucket and headed for the tunnel. The feedings make me forget everything for a few moments. It's nice to share it with people.
I loved it,
Becca gushed.
Thank you for looking after the seals this way. It's good to see.
The young man gave us a wave and hurried back inside as the seals lazily swam off their lunch. I stretched my sore limbs a bit, and after the wild day we had, the comfort of the past hour had made me sleepy. We still had to collect our supplies and get back on the road, though, and I took a last look around the watery walls of the place while I tried to make myself want to leave.
I guess we should, I began, but I was interrupted by a loud buzzing sound which made all of us jump slightly.
The four of us looked around in complete confusion while the buzz grew louder, and then Haywan slowly took her phone out of her pocket. It was ringing.
What the fuck? I gasped as the Korean girl stared down at the device. Someone's calling you? How?
Who is it?
Becca asked, her soft brown eyes wide.
How? What? That's not possible,
Kat said with a firm frown.
All phone signals are down. There's no way. It's my dad,
Haywan whispered.
No one talk, okay?
I nodded as she hit the answer button before she slowly raised the cell to her ear. She pushed her ebony hair out of the way and took a deep breath before she spoke.
Yabaseo?
She said, and then she flung her hand to her mouth as a male voice spoke back. I watched in complete shock as Haywan quickly spoke in Korean through the phone, and Becca and Kat just stared silently beside me. The Asian girl spoke faster and faster as she got up from her seat, and she started to pace and make huge hand gestures as she spoke in her native language. Her cheeks flushed pink after a moment, and she laughed as tears fell down her pretty face.
What the fuck is going on?
Kat asked under her breath.
How could her dad be calling her? I'm pretty sure her dad is rich or something,
Becca replied, her eyes never leaving Haywan.
But how is he calling? I asked. Is there any signal in this random bit of the aquarium?
We all pulled our phones out, and I sighed as I was greeted by a blank screen and remembered I needed to charge it. Kat shook her head as she attempted a phone call, and Becca tried to send a text, which was immediately flagged as not delivered. Haywan was deep in a hurried conversation, though, and I could hear the man on the phone's deep, urgent voice.
Maybe Korea still has phone service,
Becca suggested.
Or they've managed to get it working again somehow? What does her dad do?
Kat asked as Haywan's tone got more agitated.
I have no idea, I admitted. From the skills Haywan has and the little she's told us, I'm guessing he's not exactly a model, law-abiding citizen. She only told me he's a businessman.
Business?
Kat arched an eyebrow.
That's oddly vague.
He's definitely into something dodgy.
Becca nodded, and she tried to send another text, but was met with a sad whoosh as it failed.
I only learned how to do this whole badass apocalypse bitch thing when the dinos attacked. But Haywan was already a hot-wiring ninja. She was ready for it before it even happened.
So he's still in Korea?
Kat asked.
He doesn't live in the UK with her?
Nope, I confirmed. She came over here to study music, and her family are still all over there, from what I know.
Music,
Kat snorted.
That girl's talents would be wasted on a music course.
You haven't heard her play the piano, I countered. It honestly made me feel like I was in a trance.
Yeah, she's too talented for her own good,
Becca grinned.
It's honestly kind of rude.
I caught the blonde in my arms while she giggled at my mock stern look. But we couldn't do much except stand and watch as Haywan's pacing steps grew faster. Her voice became more urgent and assertive, too. And while I loved hearing her speak in her native tongue, I wished I had some kind of understanding of what she was saying. The seals beside us splashed and twirled as their post-lunch tiredness wore off, and eventually Haywan's tone softened again as she started to tear up. I wanted to pull her into an embrace, but I knew she needed to say whatever it was, and it was the first time in weeks she had heard the sound of her family's voice. The raven-haired beauty sniffed and then laughed before she slowly took the phone away from her ear and hit the end call button. She wiped her electric blue eyes, and we hurried over to join her next to the glass tank. Hey, I said gently, and Haywan flung herself into my arms with her face buried into my chest. I took a moment to cradle her, and I kissed the top of her head as she took deep breaths. I could see that Becca and Kat were desperate to ask what had happened, but they stayed silent as Haywan calmed herself down. After a few moments, the Korean girl pulled back from my chest and smiled up at me with red-rimmed eyes. Are you okay? I asked.
Yes.
Haywan sniffed, and Kat pulled a tissue from her pocket and offered it over.
So?
Becca said as she stroked Haywan's silky hair.
What the fuck was that? Has your dad killed all the dinos in Korea with his bare hands yet? Not quite.
Haywan laughed as she dabbed her eyes.
But he did hack into the military satellite to make that call.
There was stunned silence for a moment, and the only sound was an awkward splash as a seal plunged off the rock into the water to join its companions. I managed after a moment. He did what?
That's impossible.
Kat scoffed.
There is no way a citizen could do that. He has connections.
Haywan smiled.
And he didn't do it right away. He's been trying to do it ever since the first attack started happening. He just finally managed to make it work long enough to call me.
So what did he say? I asked, as I tried to get past the whole military hacking thing. I had a million questions, and I knew the girls did too.
He wanted to send a jet to come and get me,
Haywan said.
A jet?
Becca blurted out.
An actual jet? What does your dad do?
Kat asked outright, and her hazel eyes narrowed.
He's a businessman?
Haywan shrugged.
But the chances of getting the jet to Ravenscar are pretty low. It's just too far.
But what exactly did he say? I asked.
He has been trying to contact me since this began.
Haywan sighed.
He wants me to go back to Korea. But I told him about you, Jason, and how you are protecting me here.
This is crazy, I interrupted. Haywan, I can't stop you from leaving if you want to be with your family.
No, I want to be with you,
the Korean girl said firmly.
I want to be with all of you. I told him that I wouldn't leave without you three, and Becca's mum. We are a family, a team. Wow,
Becca murmured with a sad smile.
Are you serious? You would give up that opportunity just for us? It's all of us or nothing.
Haywan nodded.
I won't leave you. I'm still confused.
Kat cut in as she rubbed her forehead.
Your dad hacked into the military satellites to call you, has a jet at his convenience, and this is normal everyday life for you? As normal as my family gets.
Haywan snorted. Where exactly is he? I clarified as my confusion mounted. Does your family have some kind of nuclear bunker?
They're on the island,
Haywan said with a shrug.
What island?
Becca cried, and she threw her hands up in the air with wide eyes.
Jeju-do,
Haywan answered with a slight eye roll.
It's the largest island in Korea. He's at the family base there. Base?
Kat asked, but Haywan didn't look like she wanted to continue our line of questioning. I couldn't help but laugh at Becca and Kat's faces as they grew more perplexed with every sentence they heard. And Becca had her hands on top of her head while Kat just stared silently with crossed arms and a raised eyebrow. So, where does that leave us? I tried, once I reined in my chuckles. Is your dad still gonna try and come over?
I don't know for certain,
Heiwan replied.
He said how difficult it would be to get to Ravenscar, and even more difficult to get us all back over to Korea. He kept saying that he will reach me, but I just don't know.
This is fucking wild,
Becca said.
Heiwan, your dad sounds seriously cool.
He actually is not,
Heiwan smiled.
He's not a terrible man to me, but I would rather be here. I told him such.
Kat checked her phone again, and I saw her screen light up with some contact details as she tried another call, but it didn't connect. It's getting late, I said, and I need to charge my phone up. It might not do much, but it's good to have all of our GPSs working.
This place seems pretty secure,
Becca pointed out as she finally peeled her gaze away from Heiwan.
I mean, it's underground, and unless there's giant dino worms or something, we should be safe for the night, right?
I agree, I nodded. We can collect whatever supplies Matthew can spare and get a good rest before we head off early tomorrow.
Sounds good to me,
Kat agreed.
I've been sleeping in the jeep for the past few nights, and my back is killing me.
I still had 1,000 questions about Heiwan, but she looked a bit tense, and I felt like we all needed to take a rest and process what had just happened. If her dad had managed to hack into military satellites, that could mean others had, too. Maybe we could find a way to communicate with our families, and I could finally know if my parents were safe. I tried not to think about my parents too much, though. The deep sense of dread for their well-being was too heavy, and I knew there was no point in worrying until I knew for certain what their situation was. I had to keep my head on straight, especially now that I had 3 women to look after over here, one of which was prepared to turn down a free pass out of here if it didn't include bringing me with her. Let's head back inside, I said, as I tucked a stray strand of Heiwan's hair behind her ear, and the Korean caught my hand to snuggle her cheek against it for a bit. Let's see if we were able to get any supplies. The girls nodded, and then Heiwan and Becca led the way out of the seal's enclosure and into the darkened tunnel. Kat walked beside me, and I could tell she was still focused on Heiwan's news. Her frown scrunched up her pretty features, and she pulled at a lock of curly hair as we walked. You doing okay? I asked, as we started to make our way back through the tunnel. My eyes took a moment to adjust to the low light, and I almost stumbled over a patient camped out on the floor.
Yeah, I am. Thanks,
Kat said, as we stepped over a half-asleep man. Heiwan and Becca were talking in low, hurried voices, and none of us stopped to look at any of the sea creatures which swam around us. When we reached the rock pool room, Matthew spotted us and hurried over with a white drawstring backpack.
I got you guys some supplies, the nurse said, as he held out the bag to me. It's not loads, but it's all we could spare comfortably, and it should at least help.
Awesome, I smiled as I looked inside at the bandages and rubbing alcohol. We'll take what we can get. Hey, we were thinking of spending the night, if that's okay. We could do with a proper rest until morning.
Sure, Matthew nodded. There's a pile of blankets over near the stairs. Just camp out wherever you can find space. A couple of the team are in charge of food. They bring out some hot meals at about 8. There's charging points over there, and just try not to make too much noise when people are asleep.
Oh, that sounds amazing, I sighed. It's been a while since we had a hot meal.
Don't get too excited, the nurse said. It's usually always pasta with tinned tomatoes. Maybe some frozen peas mixed in if we're lucky.
Sounds good to me,
Kat said.
If we haven't resorted to eating dino meat yet, then I'm happy.
There was a loud groan from across the room, and a young man in one of the makeshift beds threw up onto the ground.
That's my cue,
Matthew sighed, and he hurried off to help the patient. Okay, I said. Well, we have a place to sleep, hot food on the way, and a few supplies. Should we set up some beds?
Actually,
Becca hummed.
I'm going to try and help Heiwan contact her dad again.
I don't think that's possible, I countered as I furrowed my brow. Unless you recently took a satellite hacking course without telling us.
All right, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Becca sighed and stuck her tongue out at me.
We're just trying to work out what happened and see if we can get on anything internet-wise. Try email again, Zoom, Skype, Facebook.
I mean, it seems unlikely,
Kat pointed out.
But I suppose there's never any harm in trying.
You guys grab some bed stuff,
Becca insisted.
Find a place first to sleep.
I'm going to sit with A1 for a while.
Can you put my phone on a charger? I asked as I pulled my cell out and handed it to the blonde. Maybe Haywan's dad will call back and teach us how exactly to make a phone call during the apocalypse.
Sure.
Becca chuckled.
You and Kat go enjoy the peace. Find somewhere to get cozy.
The Brit winked at me, and I noticed Kat's face turn pink. You guys don't want to come? I asked with a skeptical glance between Becca and Haywan.
We'll catch up,
the Korean said in a cheery tone.
Go on. Enjoy some time with Kat. Make sure you find us a nice, secluded spot to snuggle up in. Okay?
Let's do it, I agreed. And when I turned to the pretty soldier, she nodded with a smile. Becca and Haywan made their way over to the charging point and sat down with their backs against the wall as they chatted. I smiled while I watched them for a moment, and I admired how loyal Haywan had been to us. She could have taken the chance to be rescued by her father, but she would rather stay with us. And with me.
So, blankets?
Kat asked. Yes, I responded as I turned back to the curly-haired corporal. Let's find somewhere with less noise and vomit for the night.
Ooh, high standards.
Kat whistled as we made our way over to the wide staircase we had come down earlier. Beside the bottom step was a large pile of sheets and a few thin pillows. I picked up the corner of a blue blanket and sniffed it, and then I grabbed two blankets and folded them up while Kat picked up two pillows and checked for any suspicious stains. I hope these got washed, I muttered. Smells okay. Let's take enough for all of us and head upstairs.
Upstairs?
Kat asked as she glanced back to the rock pools.
Shouldn't we stay underground with everyone else?
I think I saw another staircase that led down, I said as we started to climb the steps. Over on the other side of the lobby, there might be a storage space or something that's a bit more secluded.
Secluded is good,
Kat murmured in a distinct tone.
And I love the other girls, but I'm actually happy to have some alone time with you.
A prickly heat rose up the back of my neck at Kat's words, and I glanced down at her figure-hugging vest as she climbed the stairs. She was a bit shorter than Becca, and I could clearly see down her top as we walked. Kat glanced up and caught me staring, and she sent me a lopsided grin that made me want to drop the blankets right there and pull her close. It had been a long few days. And now that we finally had a bit of calm, my tension was easing up faster and faster. I was also in a quiet, echoing stairwell with a gorgeous and headstrong soldier, and I wanted nothing more than to pull those camo trousers off and feel her warm, tan skin next to mine. But I still wasn't certain if I should make too strong of a move without a clearer signal from her. And the truth was, I wanted her by my side, even if she wasn't looking for that type of intimacy so soon.
That really is crazy if her dad hacked the military satellites,
Kat said in a casual tone.
I don't understand how someone could possibly begin to do that at a time like this. Resources and power are so limited lately.
Well, this could mean there's a chance for the world's communications, I offered. I have no idea how he did it, but I hope he can do it again. If he could teach us too, that would open a world of possibilities. We reached the top of the stairs and found ourselves in the dark lobby again. The small lamp still glowed, and I could see the other set of stairs at the far side of the elevators. Over there, I nodded toward the lobby. That leads underground, too. Maybe it's another part of the exhibit.
It's a gift shop,
Kat said as she pointed to a sign above us.
Ooh, can I buy a toy if I'm really good?
I raised my eyebrows at her slightly dirty grin, and she actually giggled as we hurried across the tiled floor to reach the other set of stairs. There weren't any lights above us, and I didn't have a flashlight on me to help us see. Watch your step, I warned. There must be a switch down at the bottom. We carefully made our way down the stairs, and there was just enough light to see each step in front of us. On the last step, Kat stumbled, and I grabbed her arm to steady her.
Thanks,
she said as she bent down to pick up a pillow she dropped. I ran a hand along the wall and finally found a switch. I flicked it, and there was a dull buzz before the lights above us flickered on. Before us was a large gift shop with shelves of cuddly sharks and books. Only some of the lights had turned on, which meant that half the shop was still mostly in darkness. We stepped inside, and I saw another staff entrance to our right.
What about behind the checkout desk?
Kat suggested, and we made our way over to the large oak table that had a cash register and computer screen on top. It wasn't much, but there was enough room for all of us back there. and I shook out the blankets and arranged them in some form of bedding, while Cat propped the pillows up on the green carpet.
It's a bit spooky,
Cat grinned, as we straightened up to look around.
I guess some bulbs need to be changed.
Looks like it, I agreed. Should we check what's through that staff door?
In a moment,
Cat said, and she stepped over the bedding so she was right in front of me. I could smell her sweet body wash as she looked up at me with her sparkling hazel eyes, and heat rushed through me as I realized how easy it would be to reach out and hold her right now.
I wanted you to know how happy I am to be here with you,
Cat murmured quietly.
I've already had so much fun with you all, and being near you makes me feel better than I have in weeks. If the world really is ending, I couldn't ask for a more amazing guy to be with for it.
I looked down at the beautiful soldier as she bit her lip the tiniest bit, and as her words hung in the air between us, I knew I was about to get exactly what I'd been wanting since she drove up in that battered Jeep.